Let's go ahead and get started. First chapter of Romans. I want to read the first three verses and then move on to another verse in that chapter. Another three verses in that chapter. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection of the dead. And I'm just going to stop there because here in a minute I'm going to turn the page. Again, I want to speak about the gospel. I want to preach the gospel, and I want to tell you what the gospel is. I've talked before about this being the only gospel that agrees both the Old Testament and the New. This is the only gospel that shows God both as just and justifier of them that believe in Christ. This is the gospel of Christ. And this is the only gospel that shows absolute, complete, and perfect salvation for the children of God. And this is the only gospel that glorifies God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit, and glorifies them alone. And I want to see part of that today about this being the only gospel that glorifies God, the Spirit, and the Son alone. And where I want to read from is, well, we'll just start in verse 15, Romans chapter 1. And that's where I want to speak to you today from. Romans 1, verse 15. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because of that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. But they hold it in unrighteousness. And they put up flippant signs on the outside of their churches. Starting in verse 16, verse 15. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. Paul was ready to preach the gospel wherever he was, but he was ready to go to Rome and to preach there and to preach the gospel concerning his Son, the gospel of God. We are told to be ready to give a reason for the hope that lieth in us. In season, out of season, it does not matter. We are to be ready to speak about our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our hope. Now, I personally have felt guilt because later on after an incident happened, I thought, well, maybe I should have said something, and maybe I shouldn't have said something, or maybe I should have said something different. And Walter, sometimes I just felt unready. But as God gives you the opportunity, I do understand now. I didn't quite understand it when I first heard it. Earl used to say, what he would ask people is, do they have an interest in this? Or are you just making idle conversation? If there's an interest there, give the answer for the hope that lies within you. I'm not telling you to cast your pearls before swine. I'm not telling you to go out and preach on street corners. Unless that's what you want to do, you just go right ahead. Walter and I kind of tried it. It didn't work out very well for us. It doesn't work. Because here, Paul says it, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. But he didn't stop there. And I told you I was going to repeat what Walter said 2 weeks ago, and I wasn't kidding. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation, but only to everyone that believes.
Right.
And that's it. That's it. Faith has to be there first. Life has to be there first before the gospel will have any positive reaction.
Right.
Now, the gospel will have a reaction, but it ain't always positive. There is a power in the gospel. There is a power in the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. But for some, it's the savor of death unto death. For some, it's the savor of life unto life. The gospel is not the power of God to unbelievers.
Right.
Oh my God, I said it out loud. Yeah, and I meant it. That's not what Paul is teaching here. Years ago, I remember when we were all gathered, some of you weren't here, when we were gathered at a place down on the Bluestone. And there was a fellow that preached one morning, and I was working, but I could slip off every now and then, and that was one of the days that I got loose, and I got to hear this with my very own ears. You are officially late because you got here after me. Sorry, I made that announcement this morning.
This is my second time I turned the wrong way.
It's okay. You're here. That's the main thing. At this conference in Bluestone, there stood a man up in the pulpit speaking. And this is basically what he said. I can't quote it word for word, but the gist is definitely there. He was talking about you had to get, in order for people to be saved, they had to be under the sound of a gospel minister. A preacher from a pulpit. And what he said was, this is why it's important to invite people to church so they can be saved. I don't believe that. And Paul the Apostle is not teaching that here or anywhere else for that matter, but this is not what this is. This is a scripture they will quote saying, and a preacher I respect wrote it in a book. The gospel is the means by which life is given. The gospel is the means by which blind eyes are opened. And they're not.
No.
They're not.
No.
The seeing eye and the hearing ear, the Lord has made even both of them.
Right. Yep. Right.
You do, and I believe this wholeheartedly here, you do, and you will hear the gospel. and you will believe it. And Walter and I were talking about this outside last week in between services. And it is. The principle's sound. We sin because we're sinners. But the opposite is also true. We believe because we are believers.
Right.
When God regenerates you, when God gives you faith, you are a believer.
Right, yeah.
Even when you don't know what to believe,
right,
or who to believe.
Right.
God makes the change, and it does not have to be here in this building at this time only. The Spirit blows whether it listed, whether it wants to go, wherever it wants to go. You can't tell where it came from. You can't tell where it's going, and neither can any other preacher in the world. It may happen in this church. It may happen in this assemblage. It may happen in a building, and it may not. Most of the people that I have talked to, their testimony gives evidence to the fact that God had done something for them somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And for me, that's certainly true because I wasn't anywhere near into the gospel.
Yeah.
But something inside me changed. And I heard the gospel and I believed it. I believed him. I read of him in this book, and I believe him. That's the power of the gospel. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. It's the gospel of the circumcision, and it's the gospel of the uncircumcision, and it's one gospel. The next verse says, for therein, Paul's going on, for therein is the righteousness of God delivered. Not quite. Therein is the righteousness of God produced, reckoned, given, imputed. No, therein, in the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed. It is made manifest. It is shown to believers. And only to believers. It is by the foolishness of preaching that Christ is revealed to the regenerated, to the faith given, those who have been given faith, the believing child of God. And it is by revelation. How do we learn anything? The natural man cannot understand the things of the Spirit of God. The natural man cannot receive them. He is incapable of receiving them. But the spiritual man is capable. And this is because his spirit bears witness with our spirit that these things be so. Now, how do you explain that to somebody who does not have the Spirit of God? You can't. You can't. And it doesn't matter because they wouldn't have it anyway. They want it to be from within them. That's what I used to want. They want to be able to do something that God will recognize. I've got my self-esteem. I am somebody. No, I'm nobody. And everybody else is nobody too. They just don't understand that. Thou Jacob, thou worm, thou maggot. That's what we are in his sight. We are less than the small dust of the balance in ourselves. But in Christ, we are beloved. In Christ, we are given life. In Christ, we are given faith. In Christ, we are to be perfected by His offering. And it comes to us in time. God has promised this salvation to actually have an effect on this earth. Jesus Christ said, "Other sheep I have, them I must bring." He's bringing them now. What God has done, He is doing. What He is doing, He will do until Christ comes again. He has said He will save all of His people. And in a sense, He has saved all His people. He has redeemed them unto Himself, and now He's calling them out, and the gospel is part of that call. This is where it's revealed to us that we can know we are saved. This is the gospel of your salvation. The good news of your salvation, that Christ has redeemed you if you believe Him. And it is to everyone that believeth. That happens in time. In His time, not my time. The gospel, it doesn't say that the gospel here, it does not say that the gospel is the power of God to all of the elect. Although it is. This is talking about the revelation which God does give to His people in time. And we do receive it because He gives it. And His Spirit does bear witness with our spirit that these things are so. And the Spirit does not speak of Himself. He takes the things of mine and He shows them to you. But it is only to everyone that believeth. That's what Paul's talking about here. The gospel is indeed powerful. It's full of power to everyone that believeth. It is in the gospel that Christ is shown, manifested, revealed to the believer as the author and the finisher of our faith. Of faith, period. The faith of God's elect. It is in the gospel that believers, taught by the Holy Spirit in them, learn that Christ has obtained eternal redemption for them. He has sanctified, He has perfected forever all of His chosen people by His one offering to God. The gospel is the good news of Christ. He has done it all. And He is doing it all. And He shall continue to do it all until He comes. And then He's going to keep doing it all. It is in the gospel that we, believers, find out that of God we are in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Paul is stating here that the gospel, which is unto salvation, the gospel reveals the person and work of Christ Jesus to those who are the good ground. That's the lesson of the parable of the sower. Walter, I was mulling on that the other day. I mentioned it when I preached it that day. Christ calls it, "Hear ye, the parable of the sower." That's what it's called. But if you read that parable, the only thing it says in that parable is the sower went out to see, to sow. That's all it says about the sower. Then it goes into, it does tell you, the seed is the word of God. Christ told us that. That's what the sower is to sow. But then it goes into the explanation of all the ground. And you know why? Because we always have that ground. This is the parable of the sower because it's the lesson for the sower. Every time a sower goes out to sow, there's all four types of ground out there. And the sower doesn't change the ground. The seed doesn't change the ground. It doesn't make the ground good. It falls on bad ground and good ground alike at the same time. It's not the sower and it's not the seed. He that planteth is nothing. He that watereth is nothing. God gives the increase. And by the time the sower got there, that ground was good. The sower didn't plow anything. That's the plower's job. The sower throws seed. That's his job. And the ground is the ground. That's the lesson every sower needs to learn. And that's the lesson that a lot of people are not learning. And Christ did say it. And I think it's more and more, Paul, I think it's true what I said. If you don't understand that parable, you're going to miss out on a lot of the others. The preacher is the proclaimer of the gospel. That's all I've got. Early said, all I got is words. And if I'm splitting hairs, I'm splitting hairs. I'm parsing verbs. I don't know what I'm doing half the time. All I know is this book is true. And if I stay with this book and these words, I'm okay. I'm not lying if I'm preaching from the book. And that's all I can do. And all I can preach out of this book is what God has shown me out of this book. And what he has shown me is that is his son. It's not my proclaiming the word being the power of God to give anybody life. Even if they say, oh, the powers of God. Yes, they'll give God the credit. Supposedly, sort of, kind of, nearby. But it's important to get people into the church so they can hear the gospel and be saved. You can invite somebody to church. You can tell them the gospel. That's a proclamation. Sow good seed. And if they have an interest, it's maybe because God's already done something for them. If they hear, it's because he's already given them a hearing ear. Stephen preached it right before he was stoned. I talked about that a few weeks ago. The uncircumcised in heart and ears do always resist the Holy Ghost. Just like your daddies, just like your fathers, so do you. And I was there. Paul was there at the time as Saul of Tarsus. He said later on, I was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Uncircumcised heart and ears will never hear the gospel. That's the savor of death unto death. They're dead. And they won't have the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It's not the righteousness of man. It's not even the righteousness of believers, although we do receive a righteousness. We do have the righteousness of Christ. But it is revealed from faith to faith. It is not revealed from faith to no faith. Hebrews says it. For unto them as well as unto us, this gospel was preached. But it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. And the hearing ear comes from God. The circumcised heart comes from God. And the good ground receives it in a good and honest heart and bears fruit. The sower doesn't change the heart. The seed doesn't change the heart. God is the only one. Christ is the only one. The Holy Spirit comes in to the dead, unregenerate sinner and gives life. It's time for me to stop. 2 Thessalonians says this, verse 2 and 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. He divides it into two parts there. The preaching of the gospel, the believing of the gospel, is in the belief of the truth. That Ethiopian eunuch was sent, Philip, to tell him about Christ in the book of Isaiah. But that Ethiopian eunuch was already looking in there. And that Ethiopian eunuch believed because he was a believer. The sanctification of the Spirit is the work of the Spirit. It happens when it happens and where it happens. And I can't tell you where it happens. And no one else can tell you where it happens. And most of the time, you don't know yourself exactly when it happened. I don't know when I was regenerated. I know basically the general area when things started, I started changing and I started seeing things differently. But the gospel came to me. And I heard it this time. I may have heard it before. Didn't know it. I heard it this time. And I believed it. And I believed him. And the nice thing about that, I still believe him. This puts all of salvation in God's hands, in God's power, and in God's work. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. None of it's in my hands. It's in me because he put it in me. The Spirit comes and dwells in me. And he does reveal the things of Christ. And those things which he hears, he'll testify whether or not they be so. Sometimes he testifies that that ain't right. I've been there before. But sometimes he testifies, Walter, that this is exactly what I needed to hear. This is the truth of God as it is in the face of Jesus Christ. That God saves sinners. It's not God and man saving sinners. In any way, shape, or form. And that's in proclamation or reception. It's God saving his people. Christ saving his people from their sin. This is the only gospel that glorifies God, Christ, and the Spirit alone. Because he has planned every detail of his salvation. And it is his salvation. He told us what he was going to do thousands of years before he did it. Thousands of years before he did it. And then he kept telling us what he was going to do all the way up to the time he came. And he became a curse. The sins of his people were laid upon him. He who knew no sin was made sin for us. He bore our sins and was punished for our transgressions. And he made us the righteousness of God in him. He purchased his own people with his own blood. And he offered the perfect sacrifice for sin for his people. And he offered it to God. And God accepted it, the Father. He performed every facet of his salvation. He made peace by the blood of his cross. And his gospel profits them who have life and faith and believe. And we enter into his rest. Now, we are still to labor. We do still work. But I have entered into the rest for my salvation. I am not working for my salvation. I stand up here and preach, try to preach, and try to teach because of my salvation. Nothing I can say, nothing I can do, nothing anyone can do can add anything to the salvation of Christ. He has saved his people, and he is making it known unto them, to his people. In his good time and in his good place, and in his good way. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. He does it all. It's his gospel. It's his good news. He's done it all. He's doing it all. And he's going to finish it all. Because there's more coming. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time and this place. For your Son, who has saved his people from their sin. And who is bringing them in and giving them the knowledge of their salvation. Thank you, Lord, for everything you've done, everything you do, and all that you shall do. In Christ's name, amen.